The word gospel literally means good news. And it's good news about Jesus and that he is our salvation. And since the gospel saves us, we must teach it to our children. And that's what I want to encourage all of you parents today. Since the gospel is able to save your children, teach it to them. It says this, 1 Corinthians 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Let's pray together. Lord, we have come to you today asking for many things because you're a big God. And Lord, we want to ask again one more thing, that you would teach us today through your word, the gospel, and that you would enable us and encourage us to teach it to our children. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. A few months ago, Brittany and I took a trip to the grocery store. Just a quick trip to the grocery store. And we were busy hurrying around, making sure we weren't forgetting anything. We had to get the diaper bag. We had to make sure we had the sippy cups, all of the different paraphernalia that comes along with a quick trip to the grocery store. And we got the kids in the van. And when we got to the store, I opened the door to the van and I went over to get my son out. And I realized he had been sitting there in his car seat with the harness just hanging off of him. And in our rush to remember all of the little things to get to the grocery store, I had forgotten perhaps the most important thing of all that could potentially save his life: his seatbelt. I'm sure that anyone who has kids in here, at least I hope, can think of a time that they forgot something important. There are so many things to think about when you have kids, so many things to remember. Diaper cream, formula, extra clothes, band-aids, snacks, baby wipes, bug spray, the list goes on. And there are so many things to remember that we can easily forget things, even things that are as important as the potential life-saving ability of a seatbelt. And since that's the case, I want to remind you today to remember the most important life-saving thing that we should teach our children: the gospel. Paul says that the gospel that he wants to remind us of is this. It's in verses 3 and 4. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And so from that I see three things that are a reminder for us to teach to our children. First, we must teach our children to repent of their sins. Secondly, we must teach our children to trust God's word. And thirdly, we must teach our children to put their hope in the resurrected Christ. So let's look at that first thing that we need to teach our children. The first element of the gospel that Paul wants to remind us of is that Christ died for our sins. If we want to faithfully teach our children the gospel, that means we must teach our children to repent of their sins. That means teaching our children what's right and what's wrong, because Jesus died for their wrongdoing. Someone said this: repentance is being so sorry for sin that you quit sinning. We must teach our children to repent of their sins. Once a little girl was very mean to her younger brother, and she treated him very badly, so badly he went crying to his mother. And when the mother learned what had happened, she asked her little girl, "Mary, why have you let Satan put it into your heart to pull your brother's hair and kick his shins?" The little girl thought it over for a moment and then answered, "Well, mother, maybe Satan did put it in my heart to pull brother's hair, but kicking his shins was my own idea." We have to take advantage of the numerous opportunities we have when our children are young to teach them to repent of their sins. Teaching our children to repent should go hand in hand with the discipline of our children. We need to teach them that when they do something wrong, it isn't just disobedience to mommy or daddy, but it's disobedience against God. Our children aren't just interacting with us with their words and actions, but in everything that your children do, they're interacting with the living God. If your child disobeys you, they haven't just sinned against you, they've sinned against God. If you love your children, you'll discipline them, and you'll also use that discipline as an opportunity to teach your child to repent of their sins. Sit them on your lap and have a conversation with them. Let your child, in their own words, admit the wrong that they've done. Tell them that the thing that they did was a sin. And then teach them to repent of their sin. Maybe pull out your Bible and read to them 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then teach your child how to repent of their sins by modeling it for them. If you do this, parents, this is the beginning of teaching your children the gospel, because it teaches your child the seriousness of sin. Your child's sin is so serious that Jesus had to die for it. Teach them that Jesus died on the cross for their sin. Teach them the seriousness of their sin, and in so doing, you will be teaching your child to repent of their sins. Let them see you repent to your husband or wife when you said something in anger. Let them see you repent to them. Maybe you yelled at them when you shouldn't have. Let them see you ask for forgiveness when you do wrong. And then have them pray with you as you ask God to forgive you for the sins that you've committed. Friends, let them see your tears and contrition. If we are going to faithfully teach our children the gospel, we need to teach them to repent for their sins. Secondly, in order to teach our children the gospel, we must teach them to trust God's word. Two times, in just two verses, Paul inserts this phrase, in accordance with the scriptures. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was raised after 3 days in accordance with the scriptures. We could not know the gospel if we didn't have the word of God that contains it. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. To teach our children the gospel, we must teach our children to trust God's word. But trust is worthless in itself. If our trust isn't properly founded, it can lead to nothing other than disaster. One night, cars sped along the main highway between Jackson and Vicksburg, Mississippi. The drivers trusted their cars, and they trusted the bridges that spanned over the streams. They passed over these bridges at 50 or 60 miles an hour, and everything was lovely. The concrete spans stood firm over the rivers and bayous, and the cars went on their way. Suddenly, the twin taillights in front of a truck melted into the road and disappeared. The driver of the truck only caught a glimpse of a black gap in the concrete before he too himself plunged into the stream below. Breaking his window, he was able to free himself. He swam ashore, but before he could reach the highway, other cars zoomed smoothly up to the gap and vanished. Frantically, he tried to flag others, but the drivers ignored the dripping scarecrow figure and sped on into the void. Each time there was a single booming splash, sometimes followed by a few hoarse shouts and screams. Those drivers put their trust in a bridge that had crumbled. There's only one bridge that leads to life, and its foundation will stand firm through eternity, and it's the Word of God. Teach your children to trust God's Word and to know that it will support and uphold them when the wisdom of the world sends them plunging into the icy waters. 1 Peter 1:24 says, "The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of God remains forever." And this word is the good news that was preached to you. In teaching our children the gospel, we must teach them to trust God's word. The best way to teach our children to trust God's word is to show them that we trust it. One preacher said, "We are apt to forget that children watch examples better than they listen to sermons." When a loved one is sick or your family is going through a tough situation, gather your family together to pray and tell your children. God's word tells us in 1 Peter 1:7 to cast our anxieties on him. So that's what we're going to do. And when you do things like that, you're showing your children that mommy and daddy trust God's word and believe it when it says, cast your anxieties on him. Maybe when it's time to take up the offering on a Sunday morning, let your children see that you trust God's word about his ability to provide by letting them put the tithe check into the offering basket. Maybe give them something to put in there. Your children will know what you trust by what you do, not what you say. Give place for the reading of Scripture at your house. Perhaps have a verse of the week that you repeat at mealtimes. Make it simple and reward your child if they can memorize it. Let your children see you reading the Bible. We shouldn't just tell our children that they should trust God's word, but they should see that we trust it. Post Scripture around your house, maybe in artistic ways, or maybe just on sticky notes. Whatever works for you. One of the best gifts you can give to your children is a love for the Word of God and confidence that they can trust it. It's in the words of Christ that eternal life is found. Christ died and was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. The great theologian John Stott said, "A man who loves his wife will love her letters and her photographs because they speak to him of her. So if we love the Lord Jesus, we shall love the Bible because it speaks to us of him." Parents, teach your children to trust God's word. And the final way we are to teach our children the gospel is by teaching them to put their hope in the resurrected Christ. The linchpin of the gospel is in verse 4 of our text today. It's not simply that Christ died and was buried, but that on the third day, he rose from the dead. We must be diligent to teach our children to put their hope in the resurrected Jesus, because that is the heart of the gospel. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Our Savior is not dead and buried, but he lives today and is coming again, and we must teach that to our children. One author said, "There's no medicine like hope, no incentive so great, and no tonic so powerful as expectation of something better tomorrow." I once read a parenting book that said that you ought never break a promise to a child, because even if you forget it, they won't. A trip to Disneyland that never happened. That fishing trip Dad promised, but work got in the way. Even something as small as ice cream after dinner. If you get your child's hopes up about something, you had better follow through. Otherwise, you teach your child not to trust you. How much more should we help our children put their hope in the resurrected Christ, and not just superstitious cliches? Our children will take our words at face value, so we need to be careful with what we say and teach them to put their hope in the resurrected Christ. Inevitably, at some point in your child's life, they are going to come face to face with the reality of death. The family pet is going to pass away. Something tragic is going to be on the news, or perhaps a beloved family member is going to die. These occasions present great opportunities to teach our children the truth of God's word regarding life and death. And we need to be ready because they will definitely come to us with questions. We shouldn't tell our kids things like, "Oh, Meemaw is an angel now," or "Uncle John is with us every time we watch a Cardinals game." We shouldn't even say things like, "Fido is in the big dog park in the sky." Because those kinds of statements create confusion for children as they grow up and read the Bible, because they aren't in keeping with God's word. And if what we say differs from Scripture, then we're teaching our kids either not to trust us or not to trust God's word. When death confronts our children, we must teach them to hope in the resurrected Christ. We should teach them that Jesus died just like our loved one died. And our children aren't too young to learn about death. They see it and feel it in the emotions that they get from Disney movies, TV shows, and their own real life experience. And it's your responsibility, parents, to guide them through what that means. Teach them that the Jesus that you love, that you worship, died. And that he died for our sins. And then teach them that even though he died, he rose from the dead 3 days later. And teach them that by rising from the dead, Jesus defeated death forever and will return someday to completely defeat death. Teach them that death has no ultimate power for anyone and everyone who believes in Christ. And if your loved one who passed away was a believer, teach them that one day when Jesus returns, Meemaw will be resurrected and she will be perfectly healthy in body and mind. Open up your Bible and show your child where the resurrected Christ says, "Behold, I am making all things new." Read to your children 1 Corinthians 15:49 that says, "Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven." Teach your children that just as Christ was raised from the dead, so shall everyone who believes in him be raised from the dead. Teach your children to put their hope in the resurrected Christ. Teach your children to trust God's word. Teach your children to repent of their sins. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried and was raised on the third day. Let's commit together, church, to teach our children the gospel. Today we got to witness 7 sets of parents dedicate 9 of their children. And we got to witness 7 sets of parents dedicate themselves to teach the gospel to their children. If we're going to teach the gospel to our kids, we have to teach them to repent of their sins. We have to teach them to trust God's word. We have to teach them to put their hope in the resurrected Christ. Fortunately, we're not alone. But we have each other to encourage us and to hold us accountable. And most importantly, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. Someone once wrote a prayer seeking God's help in this matter, and it goes like this. "Dear Lord, I do not ask that thou should give me some high work of thine, some noble calling, or some wondrous task. Give me a little hand to hold in mine. Give me a little child to point the way over the strange sweet path that leads to thee. Give me a little voice to teach to pray. Give me 2 shining eyes, thy face to see. The only crown I ask, dear Lord, to wear is this, that I may teach a little child. I do not ask that I may ever stand among the wise, the worthy, or the great. I only ask that softly, hand in hand, a child and I may enter at the gate." Friends, family, parents, let's not get so distracted by the little things that we forget to teach our children the most important thing of all. Since the gospel can save our children, let's teach it to them. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the blessing of children. And Lord, I love hearing their little voices. And I thank you that you've blessed this church with such a great blessing, but also responsibility to steward the souls of these precious little lambs. Lord, would you help these parents? Would you help me with my own children to raise them in a way that honors you, to teach them truth that will ground them, to teach them about Jesus who lives and is coming again, and to teach them that anyone who believes in you will not perish, but have eternal life. That's our prayer today. May you be glorified in the lives of these little ones. Lord, may our hopes not be too small for these ones. May our hopes not be for them to be rich or famous or be successful or have a comfortable life. But Lord, may our hopes be ultimately that they treasure Christ above everything else in the world and would be willing to give all to lay hold of Christ. It's in the name of Jesus we pray this. Amen. Let's stand together. We have many guests with us this morning, so if you're new, we end our times together with a little song that we sing about the steadfast love of the Lord. You'll catch on real quick.